Good morning. Everybody knows I'm Jim, and I have a pleasure today. I get to introduce my brother, Lieutenant General Rick Lynch, retired after about 35 years. Fantastic man. Where I bowled my way through, he used his head. He did 300% better. Without ado, my brother Rick Lynch.
Thank you. I'm humbled to be in your... It was probably about a year ago when Jimmy and Lois and I got to talking about what I'm doing, and I spend a lot of time traveling the nation talking about adaptive leadership from a book that I wrote entitled Adapt or Die. But while I'm in front of audiences large and small, I share my personal testimony. I share the issues of my personal relationship with God. And that seems to find some interest amongst the community. So every chance I get to talk to a congregation, I do. And Jimmy and Lois said, how about coming and talking to ours out here at the Ross Community Methodist Church? And I jumped at the opportunity. So Jimmy and Lois, thank you. You know how much I love you. My career pales to my brother's career. You know, I was only in one branch of the service, but he was in all four branches of the service. And he retired as a gunny sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. And as the Marine in the audience knows, that's probably the most important rank in the United States Marine Corps. I love my brother. I'm proud of his service. But the real hero in the family is Lois. And I talk about this all the time because what happens in the U.S. military these days, wherever you go, you get recognized. And a grateful American public tells you thank you for your service. But they fail to recognize the service and the sacrifice of the family. Now, if there's a hero in this room, it's Lois, not just because she's a military spouse, but because she put up my brother Jimmy for nigh on to 44 years. I mean, that's pretty amazing if you think about it. That's amazing. So thanks to Jim and Lois. To Pastor Larry, thank you for this opportunity. Again, I'm humbled for the opportunity. I've driven by this church routinely for the last 20 years as I was on the way out to my dad's fishing camp. I never came in, but being here is powerful. Seeing this magnificent facility is powerful. Seeing this wonderful congregation is powerful. So thank you for that. And I want to make sure I thank those folks publicly who came to our dad's celebration of life service last week. You know, on the 12th of June, God decided to take our father, Calvin Lynch, home at the age of 89. And it was only appropriate to host a celebration of life service. Our dad wasn't a religious man, but he was a believer, so I know he's in heaven. But we hosted this celebration of life service, and I wasn't really sure of whether there's going to be three people there or five people there, because Dad wasn't that well-liked or had that many friends. But when we did, it was over 100 people in attendance, most of which are the members of this congregation. And I got to tell you, thank you for that. That's a demonstration of faith in action. And that's what I want to talk about today. Many of you may have heard of a professional football player turned coach named Tom Landry. If you're from Texas, I live in Texas now, Tom Landry is well known. For you that don't know Tom Landry, he was a professional football player, played all pro, became the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, took the Dallas Cowboys to the Super Bowl on three occasions. One day I asked Tom Landry to come speak to a unit that I had commanding, and he said, sure, I'll come. And everybody came to hear Landry the coach, but they heard Landry the Christian. And what he told the audience was becoming a Christian was easy, but being a Christian is hard. Think about that. And then he said, being a Christian is not about who you are. It's about what you do. Christians lead people to Christ. So that's what I want to talk about, the power of faith in action. My second book that I'm finishing up this week, as a matter of fact, is entitled Work Hard, Pray Hard, The Power of Faith in Action. Routinely through my career, I would cite the story that's found in both Matthew and 8 about the faith of the centurion. And the story goes like this. A centurion is really a Roman soldier, was in command of about 100 people, so he was pretty important. But he knew his limitations. And he had a servant that he truly loved. And he knew regardless of how powerful he was in the Roman military, he couldn't heal his servant. So one day when Jesus was coming to Capernaum, the centurion stopped Jesus on the street and says, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. He said, I'm a man of authority with people under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. I tell my servant to do this, and he does that. But the centurion knew he couldn't heal the servant. Only Jesus could heal the servant. So he asked Jesus to do that, and Jesus healed the servant and said, I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel. Now, in the U.S. military, you know, I had the privilege of serving for 35 years, and I commanded from a platoon of 30 to a corps of 65,000 soldiers. My last job in the Army is I ran all the Army installations. That was 120,000 people around the world. So I had some power, but I also knew my limitations. So routinely I would think about the faith of the centurion, especially when it came to healing our soldiers and their families. See, I believe that doctors treat, but God heals. So in Jimmy's case, you know, that's what happened. God healed, not the doctors. On many occasions throughout my career, there were situations where everybody had written off that youngster or his family member. There's no way he's going to survive, but he survived for the power of prayer. So I was convinced it was all about having the faith of the centurion, but now more importantly, it's about living the faith of the centurion. In James chapter 2, verse 17, God tells us, faith by itself without action is dead. So what I'm going to do over the next several minutes is talk about how are we doing collectively as a group of Christians on that action, that idea of having action behind our faith. And if you do that, as we all know, God will give you peace and God will give you courage. I mentioned this last week for those at the service. You know, Jimmy and I didn't have a Christian upbringing, if you will. I mean, our parents believed in God, but we never went to church. And then I continued that through West Point, and early in my career, I went to church, what I call as a recreational Christian, only because everybody else was going. But I really didn't have a personal relationship with God. Until one day we go to a Protestant chapel, and the chaplain is a guy named Joe Miller. And he's talking about this thing called inner peace, based on Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind.
Again, we apologize. So Joe Miller was talking about this thing called inner peace. Sarah and I, on the way home, we had two small children at the time. We were dealing with financial issues. We were dealing with professional issues. She was a teacher. I was a soldier. We were trying to make this all fit together. We were struggling. When Joe started talking about this thing called inner peace, we knew that's what we were missing. So I went to say Joe Miller, and I said, hey, I don't have that personal relationship with God. I don't have that inner peace. Over a six-week period of time, he led me to Christ, and I was baptized at the age of 32. And I started my Christian walk at the age of 32. And I want you to know that I wasn't alone. I talked about Tom Landry. If you study Tom Landry, he was doing great as a football player. He was doing great as a coach, but he knew he was missing something. And at the age of 33, a friend said, hey, Tom, I can tell you're struggling. Come with me to a Bible study. And at the age of 33, Tom Landry gave himself to Christ. And if you think about Apostle Paul, I mean, Saul, for his first 32 years, was not just not being a Christian, but he was persecuting Christians. Until he ran into the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus, Jesus slapped him upside the head, and Paul spent the next 30 years preaching the gospel. So it wasn't just about me, but it took me 32 years to find that inner peace, and I got to tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. I talked to audiences as big as 16,000. I can tell you there's this anxiety across our nation. We're worried about the economy. We're worried about jobs. We're worried about external threats with ISIS and Russia and Iran and North Korea. We're worried about internal threats with domestic terrorism. We're worried about lots of things. I understand all that. But if you listen closely to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, present your request to God. That's what we have to do to quit being anxious. We have to let go, and we have to let God. God's in charge. See, people want to talk about, well, who's going to be the next president? Candidly, it doesn't matter, because God's in charge. Let go and let God. And then it tells us in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? So we've got all the power in the world that we need based on our personal relationship with God. Which leads me into talking about courage. We have to be courageous as Christians because we're dealing with things like technology problems all the time, right? You got to have the courage. Now, folks ask me about my time in the military, and I don't say these two things to brag. I say these two things to make the point. I had four tours into Iraq for the lady whose grandson is in Iraq. I'll pray for him and all the other service members in Iraq and Afghanistan right now. I had four tours in Iraq. On one of my tours, I was a two-star general, and the four-star general called me into his office and said, we got to start negotiating with the insurgents. We just have to do that. We got to figure out what we got to do to stop these hostilities and this tragedy. So every 3 months, I'd go in a small room, and I'd meet with 16 to 20 insurgents. They were all armed. They all hated Americans. They all would love nothing better than to capture or kill an American general officer. And I was the general in the room without a weapon. The devil's here, man, I tell you. You got to work on this, Larry, because he's right here amongst you, you know. In that room with the 16 insurgents, it was me unarmed and my interpreter unarmed, and I always kept an empty chair. Why do you think I kept the empty chair? That's where God said. He tells us in Joshua 9, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So I was absolutely convinced whatever was going to happen was what God wanted to happen. On another one of my tours, this time as part of Desert Shield and Desert Storm, I was in charge of about 5,000 people. Our motor pool unfortunately blew up. The vehicle was full of ammunition when it exploded. All the vehicles around it exploded. For 6 hours, there was nothing but fire and brimstone. And I was there in the middle of the motor pool helping people out of the motor pool. And I was awarded the highest medal you can get for heroism in the United States military outside of combat operations, a soldier's medal. And people say, well, how did you do that? How did you run around that devastating place for 6 hours, pulling people out of vehicles, from under vehicles? How did you do that? And I said, God was with me. Because he tells me wherever I'm going to go, he'll be with us. So I'd ask us all to think about that as well in terms of courage. Because what I'm fixing to tell you, I'm not in Texas, so do you know what fixing to means? We okay with that? Because on one of my tours, I was the chief of staff of the Kosovo force in Kosovo. It was a 600-man staff from 29 different nations. There were 7 general officers. I was the only American. I was the guy in charge. And I got there right out of the state of Texas. And I was speaking to that organization like I was still in Texas for 2 weeks. And then the French general came up to me and says, General, we have a problem. I said, what problem do we have? He says, well, we're required to speak English here in this NATO force, but we have no idea what you're saying. We don't know what fixing to means, you know, so I always have to make sure the audience can understand, right? So what I'm fixing to talk about is our charge to keep as Christians, because it ain't about who we put in public office in November. It's not. I mean, I had my last 2 years in the military, I was in the halls of Congress almost on a daily basis, and that place is dysfunctional. So regardless of who you make the president, it's still going to be dysfunctional. Lois and I talked about this yesterday. All those folks work for us, by the way. You know, at some point in time, we got to clean house and put new people in there and give them some term limits, but that's a different issue. So regardless of who we put in there, it's about us to fix the problems that our nation has. And God tells us that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them in heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. He tells us what we got to do. We got to humble ourselves, we got to pray, we got to seek his face, and we got to turn from our wicked ways. We do. This collective body, we do. So let's talk about that. I am concerned that too many of us are closet Christians. We believe, but we don't share our faith. Faith by itself without action is dead. So when I'm out and about and I talk to people, why are you a closet Christian? Why don't you come out and share your personal testimony and your faith and share that with other folks? They say, well, two reasons. One is I sin and I don't want to appear to be a hypocrite. We all sin. Romans 3:23, we all sin and fall short by the glory of God. I embarrass myself on a daily basis. Every day I start my day in prayer. I pray the prayer of Jabez. But over the course of the day, I'm going to screw something up, right? It's in Colossians chapter 3. It's the rules for holy living. It tells you what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to be angry. You're supposed to be humble and kind. You're supposed to be patient. And I find myself on numerous circumstances through the course of the day messing that up. And I ask God to forgive me, and I try to do better the next day, and I'll probably screw it up again tomorrow. So we all have to acknowledge we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That ought not keep you from sharing your personal testimony. Just acknowledge that. You know, one of the reasons my dad and Jimmy's dad never went to church is because he hated hypocrites. He hated people that would say one thing and do something else. He hated that. So we can't be hypocritical. We just got to be Christians who do the best we can, but come out of the closet. And the second thing, that reason that people tell me they don't share their personal faith and their Christianity, is because they don't know the Bible well enough. Okay, study the Bible, right? Every morning, start your day in prayer. Every day, study the Bible. It tells us in Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do everything written, and then you will be prosperous and successful. That's what we're supposed to do. So study the Bible and share the Bible and point to the Bible and allow people to understand what's in the Bible for them, because it makes all the difference in the world. That's what we're supposed to do. So my charge to you, and in all my presentations, it's okay to have the faith. In my case, the faith of the centurion, but you got to live the faith. And every day when you look in the mirror, the most important piece of furniture in your house, you got to ask yourself, am I demonstrating my faith? Am I living my faith? Am I having faith in action? And then some folks say, well, I'm only one person. I can't turn the world around. That's just not true. If we all, the people in this room right now, went out and touched a couple people and shared our personal testimony and shared them what a personal relationship with God does for us about peace and courage and thanksgiving, and they went out and told a couple people, and they went out and told a couple people, before you know it, you've touched the entire city of Hamilton, Ohio. And it all started with you. So you can't just say, I can't do it just by myself. Everybody's got to do it. It's got to start somewhere. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So be that lifestyle evangelist. You don't have to be the green tooth Christian. You know, what aggravated my father and candidly aggravates me is when people come to me and say, you got to believe like me or you're wrong. How can that be? You know, unless they went to heaven and came back and God told them personally, here's what you ought to do, I ain't buying it. You ought not be the green tooth Christian, but you ought to share your faith. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men. So it tells us in the book of Isaiah 6:8, I heard the voice of the Lord crying, who shall I send? Who shall go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. That's what we have to do. So the route that our nation is on, we can turn around. We can fix this. Don't be dreading the presidential elections. Don't be dreading the economy. Like I say on the front page of the Hamilton Journal News today, it lists all the woes in the state of Ohio. Let go, let God. He's going to turn this around if we do what he tells us to do. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to pray. We're going to seek his face. And we're going to turn from our wicked ways. And we're living faith in action. God bless you all. Thank you very much.